What is the word, y'all? This is Devontae. This is Reaper Training. Y'all are now tuned in to the Reaper Motivation Podcast. Appreciate y'all for joining me today, man. We got some good content coming up. And just like I promised, we're starting back up talking about the book. Today, y'all know me, man. I be kind of thinking about these joints on the fly. Like, I'm going to try to do two chapters, but that depends on how long this ends up being, because these are two pretty big chapters and two very important ones. If you notice, I say that about, at this point, I think like every chapter in the book, but like I feel like every chapter in the book, I made a concerted effort to really delve into topics that I thought were very, very important and very, very useful and very, very key in self-improvement. So, the last chapter we went over was marketability, which was a big one. Now, chapter 7, being as deadly as possible. Now, there's a bunch of different ways to come at this, right? So, as y'all know from some of the old podcasts, like I said, I grew up kind of fighting. I grew up in more violent environments and doing things like, just, you know, I became very used to fighting, and then I just have a naturally aggressive personality. But the reason why I made this chapter actually doesn't have anything to do with that in particular. The reason why I made this chapter is because when I look at today's society, and I actually just spoke about this in the Bad Boy podcast, the one before this, but we're men today are being forced to be docile. Like they're trying their best to take all the natural aggression and violence out of our psyche that's really ingrained in our DNA. Like testosterone is a aggressive hormone. And the effects of it are more dire than people really understand. And the reason why I say that is because there was a story, there's a couple stories, but there was one story in particular that I heard about. I can't tell you if it was a year ago or 2 years ago. I think it was about a year or so ago, maybe even a year and a half ago. It bothered me a lot. And essentially the story is, there was a little boy, I don't know if it was in Michigan, I know it was somewhere in the Midwest, but there was a little black boy who was playing in front of a neighbor's yard, which is Asian dude. The Asian dude comes out the house and swings at the little boy with a fucking sledgehammer. The little boy was like 7 or 8 years old. A baby, bro. A baby. He swings at the little boy. He misses. The little boy runs. This dude goes in the house, and this motherfucker shoots out the window and hits this little boy because he was playing in front of his yard. The Asian dude gets released from jail within like a month on bail. Just bullshit, right? And this isn't to get into the racial idea of this, because it obviously was some racial. The dude was known to be a racist. It was a lot of shit. But the reason why I bring this up in this podcast was, this little boy's father was the first person that. The little boy ran home, and his father saw him shot. His father called the cops. The dude was arrested. His father's on the news talking about how sad he is and how, you know, his son's not the same. And that man came out of jail and was, again, living right down the street on bail. Bro, let me tell y'all something, bro. And when I spoke on this the first time, like when I commented on the post, there was people, we don't want black men in jail, and no more black men in jail, and yada, 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 and don't promote violence. Bro, your family, it is an honorable thing to kill a motherfucker to protect your family. It is an honorable thing to go to jail behind protecting your family. It is an honorable thing to say that before I allow you to hurt my child or my wife, I will kill you. That is honorable. That is not gang banging. That's not selling drugs. That's not none of the other dumb shit that we all go to jail for. No, that is you protecting your family. That little boy went home terrified. And if you read the article, they was talking about this little boy, it was so heartbreaking. The little boy was in the hospital crying like, why would he do that? And all this other stuff. And his dad's talking about he's heartbroken. Motherfucker, go get back. That motherfucker's living in your fucking neighborhood. You ain't do shit. Bro, that little boy probably went home thinking that my daddy, my protector, is going to help me. The man that I look up to and who I want to be like, who is a superhero to me, is going to protect me. And this motherfucker called the cops. Bro, I'm not the toughest person on earth. I'm not. I wasn't a gangbanger. I wasn't no street nigga. I wasn't sliding on ops. I wasn't doing none of that shit, bro. But I ain't never in my life been soft. And I tell you right now, if my child would have came in there with a fucking bullet wound and tears, we ain't calling shit. We're not calling a goddamn thing. We stepping on shit. And how people got this confused to where protecting your family is on the same level of, as gangbanging or whatever the fuck. No. Absolutely fucking not, bro. That's your child, bro. That's your child, bro. I don't want to hear that's so sad. I don't want to hear, you know, why is he on the street? The motherfucker, he's in the article complaining, why is he on the street so early? Motherfucker, why is he breathing? Why is he breathing? Why is he breathing? And the thing is, right, when I made this chapter, bro, I don't want nobody to learn how to fight and learn how to shoot and learn how to do these things to be a predator. That's not what I want. The second or third paragraph, I say, be kind to people. This is, like, before I get into anything about this being as deadly as possible, you be kind, bro. Be a human. Treat people like human beings. But I'll be goddamned if someone puts your child, your baby, in danger and you don't do shit. Fuck the cops. Fuck all that. It's time. Somebody gotta go. Cain Velasquez, he's a heavyweight. He's a former heavyweight champion. Cain Velasquez's daughter was raped. Cain Velasquez blew that motherfucker down with a double-barrel shotgun. And was in the mugshot smiling. You know why he was smiling? Because he understood how I'm the protector of my fucking family. Go tell the cop. Fuck them. So this being as deadly as possible thing, this has nothing to do with putting black men in jail. Look, I understand we're at a disadvantage. And I understand. And I do not want anyone to go to jail wrongfully. But bro, your family's well-being and their safety and your self-respect as an individual has to be worth something. No one is willing to die for anything today, bro. These fucking dudes now, bro, these motherfuckers could be out with their woman. Somebody could come palm her ass and he'll be like, oh, well, I didn't want to get hurt. There was another story where the dude was in Walmart and the guy comes up and sexually assaults his daughter in front of him, and this motherfucker called the cops, bro. And the nigga left. That's your baby, bro. You let these motherfuckers, bro. This we cannot. We have to be able to defend our families, bro. You're a protector, bro. You are a protector. When you decide, and I'll get into leadership later on. That was one of my farther chapters. I don't know if that was chapter 8 or 9. It might have been 9, but like, when you have a family, bro, you are the leader and protector of your family. Fuck all this feminist propaganda and all this other shit. Fuck that, bro. You're the leader and protector of your fucking family. You're the leader and protector of your family. So if you're allowing people to harm, assault, like, bro, back in the day, bro. Like, when you see these goofy motherfuckers, like, they'll do shit. Like, whenever I see a man, like, defend rape or be like, you know, the Me Too movements, this and whatever. But back in the day, if you sexually assaulted somebody's daughter or wife, you pray in your dreams that motherfucker never found you, bro. Niggas was stepping on shit. You ain't gonna rape shit around this bitch. I'm gonna kill you. We stepping on shit out here. Nowadays, these motherfuckers, the fucking dad or whoever gonna defend the motherfucker. What is we on, bro? What is this? Are we protectors or what are we, bro? It's time to put the fucking panties up. It's time to stop the whining. Get your fat ass in the fucking gym. Learn how to fight, learn how to shoot, and protect your family. And I told myself I was gonna stop talking like this on these podcasts, but bro, I gotta like this because it means so much to me, bro. Because when I'm gonna fill y'all in on something, right? And this is part of the reason why it means so much to me. A lot of the women that I talk to, I always hear about how they were either raped or molested by like a stepdad or a family friend or some shit like that. You want to hear something, bro? Do you know how many of those women tell me that they told their fathers or their fathers knew about it and didn't do shit? And you know what's crazy, bro? We talk so badly about masculine women in today's like manosphere. You know why a lot of those women is masculine, bro? You know why they act the way they do? Because at one point in time, either a man was not there to protect them or a man failed them. So now what they do is they act super hard and shit to find a man that can handle them. What the handling means is that I know you won't fold on me like these other motherfuckers did back in the day. Now, that being said, I'm still not dealing with that shit. I don't want to get it twisted here. Y'all think that I'm about to, fuck no. I don't, look, y'all already know my motto, chill or get the fuck on. That's just how I'm rocking. But I'm saying I understand where it comes from. You know what I'm saying? I understand where it comes from. And I understand that derives from that. And we need strong men in the household, bro. Especially in the black community. And I understand I don't have just black people that listen to me. But, bro, in our community, bro, and these, it is so important, bro, because no one's going to protect them better than you will, bro. I see videos of black women getting the beats put on them by other men, and this black man is sitting around the sidelines looking stupid.
What's happening? Wow.
Looking stupid. Black women getting beat in front of them. They looking like a fucking clown in the background, confused and shit.
What's happening?
No one's standing on business, bro. No one's standing on fucking business. And I want to make this clear too. I'm not saying to crash out for everything because not all situations warrant violence. There actually will be some women that you'll deal with that'll purposely start some bullshit just to get you to act out in a violent way. So be cognizant of your surroundings, understand what's going on, but you gotta protect your people, bro. You got to. It is imperative that we protect our people and our families. It's so important, bro. And I just don't I don't understand why it's and the crazy thing is that we're not holding ourselves accountable. But that story with that little boy broke my heart in so many pieces, bro. Because, and not even just, like, the story itself was sad. Don't get me wrong. But just, I'm just imagining that little boy going home. Running home because, in his head, my protector is at the house. The dude that can stand up to Batman or Thanos himself and protect me is at the house. And this bitch-ass nigga called the cops. This nigga called the cops. Then to make it worse, the motherfucker comes back into your neighborhood is sleeping nice and safe and sound. Catching some Z's right down the street. Breathing easy. Knowing that he just did that bullshit. Cause if say the cops came and did it, but when he came out on bail, bro, when that man came out on bail, like I'm really trying to, like, I can't even fathom. And the thing is, I'm looking at it right, and I don't have kids, bro. And but my little brother means the world to me, gang. And my mom's told me about my little brother's getting bullied about two years ago, I think. And I remember, bro, being so enraged. Like I was mad to the point where, like, I wanted to, like, I was at work and I wanted to start a fight. And I was like, bro, I just want to punch one of these motherfuckers right in their mouth. And that had nothing to do with it, but I was so upset that my brother was going through shit and I couldn't be there to stand on business. So I could just imagine in my heart, like, what I would have been. I don't even know. I can't even put into words. And it's just like, this motherfucker was just there looking stupid. In the house, probably playing Xbox and shit, just looking dumb. Why this motherfucker's down the street comfortable? He ain't scared for his life. He ain't scared of shit. He's comfortable on fucking bail. First day he would have been out, you should have filled that whole fucking house with 5-5-6. That man should have been sleeping with one eye open, terrified. He should have been so scared to breathe wrong. He should have been looking both ways before he left his door in the morning to grab his fucking mail. Terrified. That man should have woke up in the morning wondering if this is gonna be my last day. He should have put the pressure on that bitch ass nigga. He didn't. And your baby shot. Being deadly as possible is important, bro. And this is why this chapter, like, and I really put that, like, in the next book is gonna be a self defense and an emotional understanding handbook. But this shit has to stop. We have to stop the dumb shit. We need to protect our own. And yeah, bro, I ain't gonna keep beating the dead horse, bro. Yeah, y'all get the gist at this point. But it's just, you know, it meant a lot to me, bro, because that story bothered the fuck out of me. But moving on, because I don't want to make this too serious. So that was chapter 7, Be As Deadly As Possible. If you read the actual book, just give me a heads up. Y'all read the actual book, I break down martial arts, weapons handling, weapons, all that stuff. Like, I break it down to a T on how to really cultivate yourself into being a lethal individual. And I speak about it. But now, going into the... To the nitty gritty part, the part that might be of most interest. Chapter 8, relationships. Now, here's the thing about the relationships chapter, right? The relationship chapter, I don't think I actually even spoke about relationships until like the fourth page. I'm gonna tell you why. If y'all notice, this is a goal oriented channel. I emphasize greatly about chasing goals, being a purposeful man, being someone who's on their grind 24/7. And the reasoning behind that is because this is not a fad. This is not a phase. This is a lifestyle, being a purposeful man. And with relationships, yeah, I gotta understand, bro. It takes a special type of woman, a very, very, very special type of woman, to be able to be in a relationship with a purposeful man. And the reason why the things I tell you I seem to be so picky is because the things that I tell you about will weed out whether or not you have a woman that can handle being a purposeful man. And what I mean is, a woman like Savannah James, LeBron James' wife, a woman like Steph Curry's wife, or a woman like, these aren't just everyday women. And I'm not even talking about with looks at all. I'm talking about just mentality-wise. How they think, how they act, you gotta understand how rough it is to be with somebody who is 24/7 engaged mentally and being the best that they can be. I'm gonna give you a case in point, all right? And obviously I'm not at the level of these individuals yet. I'm still growing, you know what I mean? But I was sitting at home the other day, right? That was my dryer. But I was sitting at home the other day, and I had just had a hellacious week, right? I'm talking about, like, just busy. I probably had put in almost 70 hours of work at my actual day job. Got the podcast done. Did a couple YouTube videos. Trained the entire time, running 4, 5, 6 miles. I think I ran about 20 miles that week. I was grappling. It was a hellacious week. And I remember Friday came. I'm exhausted. I'm at the house. And I'm sitting here. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to go out to go drink. I'm not about to do no dates. I'm not doing none of that shit. I'm about to break my phone out, get out my grappling handbook, and I'm about to study some film. And as I'm studying film, I think to myself, I'm like, you know, this is the reason why I'm single. Because I just can't fathom. You got to understand. Imagine being a female in a relationship with someone who's like that, or like dealing with someone like me, right? You don't see this motherfucker all week. All week long, he's all over the fucking place. Running there, doing this, working on this, and yada, yada, yada. You talk to him, do texts, and maybe a phone call a little bit, but, like, again, he's busy, so it's all over the place. Then here comes the weekend. Your friends is out. They partying, they having a good time. You finally get a chance, and this motherfucker is sitting in the house studying film. And every time you talk to him, he's yammering on about fucking being a world champion in stocks and shit. And writing books. That's all he yammers. That's all he fucking blabbers about and rambles about. Imagine being, do you know the mental fortitude that a woman has to have to deal with that, bro? They want to lay up with you and watch movies and eat snacks, fool. Or have somebody to complain to about their day job. You are fully submerged. And I'm not saying that you don't have any time for them, right? You're going to have some time. I'm not saying, like, I'm not, even me as like, even someone like a LeBron James or a Mark Cuban, or any of these dudes that you think about, or Grant Cardone, they're not so busy so they can't do anything with their wives. But a majority of the time, a lot of the time, they stepping on shit. They hustling. And it takes a very, very, very strong-minded woman to be able to just accept that and not try to compete with it. Because that's the thing. And this is the thing I've found with dating, when you're as dedicated to a goal as you gotta be to be a purposeful man. When the time comes for y'all to finally hang out and chill, she's gonna, like, all those emotions are gonna come out at once, and it's gonna be a chaotic argument. Cause she hasn't seen you all week. She's wondering about what's going on. She's lonely. She's this. She's that. She's that. So when she sees you, it's just gonna be a fucking explosion of emotions instead of them actually enjoying your company. Now, me personally, when I'm not working, and this is like the one off thing with me, I don't want to deal with that shit, because when I'm not working, I want to rest. I'm tired. Like, I don't come home. Like, if you're a purposeful man, if you're at the house lounging around, it's because you're exhausted. Like, if I'm ever at my house just lounging on the couch, playing on my phone for hours at a time, it's because I'm tired. Because I've been working so much, I need a minute to just chill the fuck out. Because I'm exhausted. There's some Sundays where I'll be in bed for, like, 2 hours before I get up and start rolling again. Because my body is physically tired. And even then, I'll get right the fuck up, go grapple for 2 hours, come back, run some miles, and then watch the game, and then I'll work on a book, and it's just all over the place. So, like, when you're really on your purpose, bro, there's not a whole lot of downtime. So, for me, being a man on my purpose, to spend that downtime arguing, I've been tired all week. I've been hustling all week. And you tell me that now this little bit of time I get to enjoy myself, to go out and have some drinks, enjoy some good music, and eat some good food, and have a good time, I got to spend it arguing with your ass. That shit to me is just a no-go. So that's the reason why I'm single. And this is the reason why I waited 3 pages to mention dating in this chapter. Because if you're a purposeful man, your purpose is going to come first. And the things I talk about, the not letting women bully you into a relationship, just so many different things, the girlfriend material, all that shit, all that is because if you just, I'm just going to wife up the first thing, and you're really on your purpose, because some dudes, let's be honest, right, a lot of dudes are not really on their purpose. They're not, like, they get in a relationship, they stop going to the gym, they stop actually putting in the work, all of a sudden all they want to do is just sit in the house and lay up with her all day. Not saying there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you are who you know, it is what it is. But like, if you're somebody who like, nah, like, this is really my life, this is something that I care about, I want to be successful, then what's going to happen is you're just going to be like, bro, she's just in the way. She's literally just a fucking headache. Like, I was more peaceful when I was by my fucking self. And let's keep it up. I'm going to keep it real again. As men, especially as men who are very confident and on their purpose, we have a hard time accepting that we were wrong. Like, for example, I told y'all about the little stint relationship I was in for like a 2 weeks or some shit like that. The only thing that was enticing me not to break up with that girl was because I was like, damn, I already posted on my Instagram. It'd be kind of embarrassing to admit that I had to break up with her. You don't want to admit defeat. You don't want to admit that you was wrong. And then you didn't invest it. You know, you just don't want to give up that easy. But I'm telling you, bro, like, you gotta, like, the time and the effort that it's gonna take to really make that work, it's not gonna, and the thing is, here's something else I want to mention too about this whole relationship thing and being purposeful. Because I feel like people, you know, that's a selfish way and this and this and this. Let me tell y'all something, bro. In every wealthy family in America, whether that be extreme wealth or just wealth on like a smaller scale, just, you know, a top 10% family, a man in that family had to make a great sacrifice. Maybe he didn't get to enjoy his life the way he fully wanted to, or maybe he didn't get to have that perfect marriage and no shit. But you know what? His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren will live a much better life because he made that sacrifice. Life is not all about being comfortable all the time. And making that sacrifice now will do something. And especially, and I know I'm talking about black people a lot in this one. I guess it's just, but just in general, if you come from a poor background, bro, someone has to make the sacrifice. And I know not everybody's going to want to be a billionaire and all that other shit. Most people won't be. But, like, someone, we all can't be content with being average, bro, because we're all going to be poor forever. Someone has to be the person that says, I'm willing to go above and beyond. Somebody. I don't know who, I don't know when, but somebody has to be that person to say, I'm willing to go above and beyond. And you will never go above and beyond if you do not either postpone relationships completely until you're at least halfway to where you want to be, or you find a woman who can handle being with a man who's that purposeful. Now, with me, like I said, are there women out there that are perfect for purposeful men? Absolutely. I think anyone who says that there's no such thing as one of those is just in denial. Like, there's definitely ones out there. Do I have time to spend all day and fucking night looking for one? No, I do not. Actually, it's to the point right now where I'm so ingrained in what I'm doing, I'd rather just wait until I'm at least 40% into like my completing my goals before I even think to take anyone else seriously, because I just don't have the time. So, the relationship chapter is really like I emphasize, and if you read it, you're gonna realize that this is you're gonna, for lack of a better word, for lack of a better way of putting it, bro, you're gonna struggle. It's not gonna be the easiest thing for you. You might be, especially if you're really on your purpose, you might be slaying shit everywhere else. You might be killing it in the business world, sales, business, all that shit. You might be putting in work, but that's the one thing you're gonna struggle with. Look at like a Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was the ultimate competitor to everything else, but look how many times he was in the news for his wife threatening divorce. He probably was having a hard time with it. It's hard, bro. It really takes a special. You got Tom Brady. You got, it's a lot of them, bro. It's really difficult to be with someone who's that ingrained and that obsessed with greatness. It's hard. But let me tell you something. All those people I mentioned, their families will be good for centuries. Be that catalyst. Be the one that changes your family name forever. Me personally, bro, I want the Jeffers last name to be in the history books for decades, for centuries, for generations. I want the Jeffers last name to be special. And I hustle sun up to sun down every day of my life, and I sacrifice everything to make that point happen. And that's what you really have to ask yourself. How hungry are you? How bad do you want this? I know she fine, and I know you want to lay up, and I know it'd be a lot better just to have her rub your ears and while you watch Grey's Anatomy and eat snacks and shit, but niggas, the world ain't waiting for you. The world ain't waiting for you at all. So, yeah, I guess this wasn't as long as I thought it was. I thought I was going to have to spend a lot more time on this. But this is Devontae. This is Reaper Training, man. I appreciate y'all for joining me. We will continue this with chapters 9 and 10. There's 13 chapters in the book, so we're actually coming close to the end here. I think I'm going to go straight into the next one. I might take a break before the end to, you know, get into some other topics, you know, keep it interesting. But I appreciate y'all for joining me, man. Tenacious Rose is now available on Amazon. Go cop that. It's $9.99 paperback. If you have Amazon Prime, the Kindle version will be free. And I appreciate y'all, man. Y'all be easy. We don't chase dreams, we hunt goals. Follow me on Instagram, Activated Merc. See y'all next time.